Let's open up our Bibles to Psalm 119. And if you would like a Bible, Rudy's back there. He'd be glad to get one for you. Just raise your hand and he'll get one to you. You will need a Bible, though, because it's a Bible study. And if you're just going to take my word for it, then you need more than just a Bible study. Psalm 119. Well, let's go ahead and pray. Father, you're so, so very good to us. Lord, we can think of so many ways, Lord, and tonight we're going to focus on the fact that you have given us your word. God, that you have revealed your will. You have revealed your heart. God, you have inspired these pages, God, and we are so grateful for the truths that we find in your word, and we pray that your word, day after day in our hearts, would just come to life more and more. God, so I pray for everybody here tonight that you would just break down walls, soften hearts, do what you desire to do. And Lord, may tonight not be an end, Lord, but may it be a beginning, Lord, new beginnings of what you desire to do by your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So tonight, we're going to take some time and look over this psalm. This is, as many of you guys are aware, but you know what? Let's just talk about some of the interesting facts of this psalm. This is the longest chapter in the Bible, which among other things means we're not going to be reading every verse tonight. Yeah. I think it takes about 15 minutes to read the whole thing fast, but out loud, that is. But as I was considering what other psalms we were going to cover in this time when we're together over the next handful of Wednesdays, it just hit me that it would be a shame for us to go through the psalms and not just make ourselves aware. Maybe you've never even read this psalm. Maybe you've never spent time in it, or maybe it's been a while. So we're going to get a fresh look at it, and we're going to see what the Lord has for us. But first off, we'll just talk about some of the interesting things about this psalm. As I mentioned, it's the longest chapter in the Bible. There's 176 verses. The reason why I mention the amount of verses is this. Basically, there are 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. If you guys look down at your Bible, chances are, before it says Psalm 119, it has the word Aleph. Is that the case? Who's got that in their Bibles? And as you, good, almost all of you. And as you go through it, you'll notice that every 8 verses, there's a new word. The next one is Beth. That comes before verse 9. So I want to kind of explain to you what's going on here. There are 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet, and basically what the psalmist has done, and we're going to say it's David because in all likelihood it is David, and basically what he's done is he's taken every letter of the Hebrew alphabet and written verses that start with a particular letter. If it was the English language, it would go like this. Instead of Aleph, it would say A. And then verses 1 through 8 would be verses that start with that letter. For example, all things that you do are good, God. All-knowing is my God. Awesome is the Lord Most High. That type of thing. And 8 verses, and then it would go to B. And then you would say, God, well, it wouldn't say God. It would start with the letter B, but it would say, be everything in my life. Things like that. And basically, that's what he's done. So if you take 22, with it, which is the number of letters in the Hebrew alphabet, and you multiply it by 8, which is how many verses are under each letter, you would come up with 176, which is exactly how many verses there are in this psalm. You guys with me so far? You with me? Okay. Some people, as they look at it, I think that there's a very good chance that it could have been something that David compiled over his lifetime. There is so much life experience in these verses that several commentators I read said that there's a good chance that perhaps David had kept even a diary of sorts, and just things the Lord had done in his life and things that he had learned and gleaned from God's word, and as his life came closer to an end, he kind of compiled all of these things and made them all work in the organization that we talked about previously. I think there's a good chance that that's true. Another thing about this psalm that just makes it different from just about every other psalm is that really each verse can be taken exactly, it can be separated from the psalm, and it has its own complete idea. Kind of like the Proverbs. Those of you that have read through the Proverbs know that you take a chapter and it's not necessarily going to be like a letter of thoughts that build. It might be just little ideas. In other words, instead of it being basically treasures that get greater as the chapter goes on, really it's more like, rather than like a gold chain where every idea is linked to the previous idea, it's just separate treasures, separate ideas. That's different from pretty much every other psalm. Really, essentially, this psalm is about the love of God's word. You see the idea of God's word all throughout this whole section. You know what? Let's go ahead and read the first 8 verses. We'll just pick the first section, and I'm going to read through it and just follow along. Consider it. I want us to get a feel of what this psalm is like rather than just me talking about it. Starting in verse 1. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. You have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. Then I would not be ashamed when I look into all your commandments. I will praise you with uprightness of heart when I learn your righteous judgments. I will keep your statutes. Oh, do not forsake me utterly. There's such a devotional, meditative style about this whole psalm that, among other things that I hope we gain tonight, I pray that it sends you home over the next couple days and weeks, kind of going through the psalm and taking a look at the whole thing. One thing we notice right off the bat is it has a whole lot to say about God's word. And you guys probably noticed also that it designates different terms for God's word, but in the end, it's all talking about God's revelation to man. You can see different words in this psalm. In fact, it will continue that idea, and David will use words like your word, your sayings, your way, your testimonies, your judgments, precepts, commandments, law, and statutes. I don't know if that covers all of them, but I think it covers most of them. And I think most of them, in fact, are mentioned even in this first section that we just read. And rather than going into the details of what each thing specifically means, I just want to point out that every time one of those words is mentioned, whether it be testimonies or precepts or commandments or laws or your ways, they're all speaking of God's revelation of his word and of his will for man. In fact, I read somewhere that there are only 2 possible verses throughout the whole psalm where God's word is not mentioned. So you have 174 and maybe all 176 where God's word is specifically mentioned. That alone is just so important. That alone, I hope, excites you and makes you want to find out what is it? What is it about God's word that is so important? Because as we talk about these things tonight, really it's just the idea of the excellence and how awesome God's divine revelation to us is. And as we just take a look through this psalm, we're going to see and be reminded of the purity, the solidity, the promises, the blessings, the wisdom, and I could go on and on, but all these things we're going to find are from the Word of God, and most essentially is the God that gave His Word to us. We get to know God better through this time. And I do want to clarify, before I go any further, that I'm really not here tonight to defend or to prove that the Bible is the perfect Word of God tonight. Now, of course, there are many, many great reasons to believe that the Bible is the Word of God. The manuscript evidence, the archaeological evidence, the prophecies, all these things, as you consider them, just give so much proof to this being the perfect Word of God. But the bottom line is Psalm 119 presents the Bible exactly the way it is. It presents the Bible as being powerful, as being life-changing, and as being directly from God Himself. You see, the Bible could be compared to a lion. It's not our job to defend a lion. And it's not my job tonight to defend the Word of God, simply to let the lion out of the cage and to do its job. The bottom line is the Word of God, by the Spirit of God, does a mighty work. And that's what we want to see. Now, if you tonight don't believe that the Bible is the Word of God, I'd love to talk with you sometime. But really, I pray that even just seeing just the beauty of it, like we said, the purity of it, the promises of it, the blessings of it, I pray that even as we just talk about those things, that something just clicks in your heart. But as many of us, most of us are Christians here tonight, I want to take the next step and say, yes, the Bible is the Word of God. How is it dictating my life? How is it? I'm going to paraphrase a guy named Matthew Henry, who essentially said, whoever reads this psalm, it will either comfort them or shame them. And I completely agree with that. Because tonight we're going to be challenged. We will be challenged. We'll be challenged with how seriously we take God's Word. We're going to be challenged with how much peace, how many blessings, how much joy do we really get from God's Word. We're going to be challenged by how much of our lives are really dictated by God's Word. And we're going to be challenged to go more often and in a deeper way to the Word of God, in order that we might get to know and be changed by the God of the Word. What I want to do is I want to take some time and just read some specific verses to make some specific points. There are, I believe, some very, very important points that God desires that we get out of Psalm 119 tonight. I believe there are some really important ideas, important themes that we should go home with tonight in relation to God's Word. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to read you various verses, and we're going to talk about those points. There are three of them. And really, all of them, in a sense, can be summed up with one title. I just call it God and Man. Because God's Word is our connect with God. God's Word is where we get to know Him. And God's Word is where we find out what God desires from us. God's Word is where we find out where salvation comes from. God's Word is where we find out where we came from. And so basically the whole idea tonight, as we go over Psalm 119, we're going to look at just that fact. God and man are connect with God. Basically, the first of the three points is this: the character of God. One of the most beautiful things, if not the most beautiful thing, about the Word of God is it reveals God to us. We have God's expression of Himself. That's amazing. That's amazing. We forget the power of that so many times, and we waver between how much can we really bank on this book that we got right here. But God's Word and many proofs say that this is what He has spoken through people, by His Spirit, over time. And we learn in God's Word, we learn the character of God. So if you can follow along with me, I'll mention to you verse numbers and we'll read them off. And again, as we go through, we want to get everything we can out of this. We're going to be reading a lot of verses, but hopefully it gets you excited about all that God is and all that His Word is. In verse 41, and again, we're talking about the character of God as revealed in this psalm. In verse 41, it says, "Let your mercies come also to me, O Lord, your salvation according to your word." You know what I love about this is the fact that David, when he wrote this, really they had the five books of Moses. And he sees the character of God, and we're going to see, and as you read 119, you'll see all the things that David gleaned from those five books of Moses. But what is so amazing to me is that he saw in those books, he saw God's salvation. Isn't that great? How much more we who have the entirety of God's Word right here, you guys are holding it. We see God's plan of salvation. Verse 57, "You are my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep your words." Psalm 119:65, "You have dealt well with your servants, O Lord, according to your word." Verse 68, "You are good and do good." Now that's simple, but it's so profound. God, you are good and you do good. Teach me your statutes. Verse 114, "You are my hiding place and my shield. I hope in your word." These verses, they remind us of who God is. They remind us of the fact that we find out who God is through His word. Sometimes we forget that. Sometimes we forget that the way that we know God, it's found in here. The things that we believe in God for, they're all found in here. And the greatest thing about that is many times in Scripture, God says, "I have spoken, I will not relent." And we're reminded of the fact that God is unchanging, His character is unchanging. And we find those truths in this Bible here that is unchanging. It's a powerful fact. I was thinking about it today, just so many of the things that, because we all struggle in life. We talked about it a lot last week, about being in the depths, but we all struggle in life. And so many of the things that we know about our salvation, that we know about our God, they came from right in here. And you know what? It's true. It's true that God speaks to us personally by His Spirit. It's true that He uses His creation and He uses other people at many times to speak to us. But in the end, it's all going to vibe with what we have right here. None of that is going to add to or take away from what God has revealed in His Word. Remember that. Remember the importance of it when you open up and when you open it up in the morning or whatever it is and you think, "Man, why do I have to do this? Why did whoever you're thinking of, why did they tell me I have to read this Bible? And I'm tired and I don't feel like it and I just read through it and I don't understand any of it. So I'm not going to pick it up again for another year." Remember that. Remember that the things we know about God in heaven, He's revealed to us, and they're all right here. That's a powerful, powerful fact. So point number one that I wanted to make to you tonight is just the character of God. We find Him in here. Point number two that I want to point out to you are the blessings. The blessings of God's Word. Throughout this psalm, if you read it, you'll see so clearly that David is so positive of the benefits of God's Word. I'm going to read to you a few verses again. Verse 17, David says, "Deal bountifully with your servant, that I may live and keep your word." Verse 105, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Verse 114, "You are my hiding place and my shield. I hope in your word." Not only are there so many blessings that come from hearing God's word, from obeying God's word, but there are just so many blessings in the word itself. Your word is a light. Your very word is a light to me in this dark world. And you guys know we need that so much. We need that light. His word is a hiding place and a shield. It's a defense. It's interesting. I hadn't thought about that. It's a defense, and yet we read in Hebrews that it's the sword of the Spirit. It's offensive also. It can be offensive, because it's the gospel, but it's an offensive tool. We use it to fight with. We use it to hide in. That's great, isn't it? Verse 162, "I rejoice at your word as one who finds great treasure." Great treasures in the word of God. Storehouses, piles of treasure. And I just want to say this. So many of us here tonight would say, if I asked you, "Is the Bible the Word of God?" And you would say, "Yes." And yet, you know what? So many of us, I just have had this picture in my head of the Pirates of the Caribbean ride at Disneyland. How many of you guys have been on that ride at some time in your life? So you kind of, you know that skeleton that's kind of standing in the pile of treasures? And it's a skeleton, it's just bones. And there's gold coins up to his belly, and he's got chains of treasures and jewels hanging off of him. So many times, I think we're just like that. I think we're just like that, because you know what? God's word is a storehouse of treasures, and yet we're like that skeleton. We're dead to it. It's no good to us, because we're not obeying, because we're not listening to it, because we're not letting God affect us with it. Don't let yourself become that. Don't let that creep in. Let those treasures, those blessings, be a benefit to you. Not something that are just trite sayings. So point number one tonight was, we find the character of God in God's Word. We meet God Himself in the words that He's given to us. Point number two are the blessings of God's Word. The blessings, if it's not just listened to, but heeded. The blessings of being a doer of God's Word. And point number three tonight, I just call our plight on earth and God's Word. Our plight on earth and God's Word. Guys, we're sojourners. We're in a land that we are confused about. We're housed in these bodies and these minds that we don't get so many times. And we're in this land, and we're strangers in this land so much. And God's Word is what we need more than anything in our plight on earth. I'm going to read to you a few verses verses 18 through 19 in this psalm. I am a stranger. I'm sorry, just verse 19. I am a stranger in this earth, or in the earth. Do not hide your commandments from me. So true. Verse 25. My soul clings to the dust. Revive me according to your word. So many things in this life, including ourselves, we bring ourselves down. So many things in this life, whether it be just the media, TV, movies, music, whatever, they just have that tendency to bring us down. Whether it be people around us, we all know that's true. People around us have the tendency to bring us down. Life and its experiences have the tendency to bring us down. And we bear witness. We say, David, I know what you're talking about when you say in verse 25, my soul clings to the dust. And then he says, revive me. Revive me according to your word. In verse 173, David says, let your hand become my help. Guys, that's a beautiful answer for where we find ourselves. The idea in the midst of our souls clinging to the dust and in the midst of us just trying to find our way in this life, the idea that God's hand could become my help, that God's hand could become your help, that's a great, great thought. Verse 117. I love this verse. Hold me up, and I shall be safe, and I shall observe your statutes continually. Essentially, I kind of read it personally just like this. Hold me up, and I will not fall. There's that contrast again of who we are without God and who we are with God. There's so much hope there because God wants to hold us up. But where would we be without that? We'd be fallen. Again, we'd be clinging to the dust. We'd be strangers in this earth. But God holds us up. And when he does, the whole view of our lives changes just dramatically. When we have the light of his word, that lamp, that light under our path that enters our lives, it really just changes things so much. We really see a realm that you and I would never see outside of God's word. Without God's word, well, for one reason, we have no reason, or for one thing, we have no reason to be here this evening, but we might as well do whatever we desire to do without God's word. There's no law, but there's no peace, and there's no hope, and there's no salvation either, and there's no creator. And many of us, even though we know better than that, our souls, the expressions on our faces, our minds, the things we do with our lives, say that we don't believe there's a God. Say that we don't believe that there is joy, that there is salvation. And then when God's word enters, and when we trust in him, things change dramatically. Let God's word and God's insight change your life. I remember when I was 17 or 18 or so, and I was just going through a very difficult time, and I remember talking to someone who was and still is a pastor, and we just basically spent some time talking. I told him where I was at, and the things that came from his lips just amazed me. So much wisdom, so much light. Again, seeing a realm that I never had even thought of. And what's our first reaction in situations like that? Man, I got to get together with you every week. I got to talk with you every day. It's taken me a long time to realize it, but the more time I spend in God's word, it's the same wisdom that guy was sharing with me. Guys, we have God's word. Don't let yourself get into the place of where, okay, well, when I get in trouble, I'll go talk to a pastor. Or when I get in trouble, then I'll open up the Word of God. Guys, we know it's a battle in this life, right? So who would go into a battle without being prepared? It doesn't make any sense. And when the battle hits, is not the time to go, okay, what does God's Word say about this? Guys, we need to, through God's Word, find God's heart. And we need to, through God's Word, understand the blessings and partake of the blessings He wants to give us. And we need to, through God's Word, let that light in. Let His Word dictate our lives and let Him change things so that we're not always thinking in the flesh, so that we're not always making decisions that just meet our needs and then we find out over and over again that it's the worst thing we could have done. So that we're not just looking to the world around us and saying, okay, well, what do they do? Well, they think that's fine. Well, they say it's cool. Well, they say I need this. And they say everybody does that. We need to get out of that mode. We need to get out of that place, and we need to be in a place where we're going, you know what? There's more to life than just what I see with the naked eye. There's more to life than just what I experience. And God's Word sheds that light into those very facts and lifts us out of the muck and pulls us out of the dust and gives us light and joy and life and living water and changes things. There's several people, as I talk with you guys, and I've had such the blessing to be able to get to know so many of you personally, and I just think, you know, there's so many of you that I've talked with and prayed with, or even just you've let me know your story, and I think, you know what? What's changed, it's not the circumstances, is it? It's not that there's just less things to worry about now, or there's just more digits in my bank account. The whole difference is God and His grace. The whole difference is that He's transforming you. And that's amazing. And I can talk with you and I can see a smile on your face. I can see a glow on you. And the situations around you are they can be so similar. Because life drags us down and God lifts us up. And if God will hold us up, then we won't fall. I want to make sure, too, as we consider these things, that we're just reminded of how personal God is, how personal His Word is. They speak to us individually. They speak to us in so many great ways. And the Bible gives us so many insights into the things that we don't understand in this life. It's so interesting because people just come to conclusions about what God's Word says, and they don't read it. They don't hear what it really says. I mean, I still hear people, you know, on talk radio or whatever, just flat out just... they're positive the Bible says the world is flat. And the intelligent people I've listened to have answered back, well, tell me where. I don't know, but it says it. There's so many people that are sure that the Bible says all these things. Find out for yourself. Find out what the Bible says. Don't be afraid of it. Go to it, read it, see what's there. It's so interesting because God tells us in His Word why the world is the way it is. And God tells us in His Word why we are the way we are. And yet so many people are going around and they're looking at people and they look at catastrophe and they look at things that happen in this world and the disasters and they come to the conclusion, look, there's proof that God doesn't exist because all these things are happening. God's Word tells you why they're happening. The same thing with us personally. We all get there, don't we? Where we go through dry spells or we just go through times where it's difficult or it's dark and we say, oh man, it's just proof that God is not working in my life. And God's word tells you there are trials. God's word tells you he will test your faith to produce character. It's in his word. It's there. So many of the answers that we desperately look for in so many places, they're right there. And I hate to tell you this, but they've been there for a long time. I'm going to invite Greg forward and Les and Laura. We'll close in song. Allow me just to read a couple more verses to you. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Don't be ripped off by the idea that the Bible is shallow, that the idea that the Bible contradicts itself. The Word of God is living and powerful. If you read through this psalm, one pattern among others will become very clear, and that is that the psalmist relates everything in his life to God's Word. God help me, because I follow your Word. God, bring your salvation like your Word says. God, your word is so good and great. Everything in his life, every dimension of his life, he relates it to God's word. And so I just encourage you this evening. And I do want to make a point before I close with this verse and we close in song. Next week when we meet in the center, we're going to do a kind of part two of Psalm 119 because there's just so much there. And a couple hours ago, as I looked over my 6 points, I realized that I was just going to have to talk really, really fast to get through it. So I decided not to. We'll do the other 3 points next week. And I think, be there if you can. And we'll just continue to consider these things. But you, of course, don't have to wait till then because you have that very word in your hands right now. Verse 18 says this, and I just encourage you, let's make it our prayers. Open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law. Father God, we pray that very thing. Lord, we pray that you would just wipe away all pretense and just the things that we maybe have built up in our minds or our hearts, Lord, and that you would open our eyes, God, and that we would see wondrous things from your law, wondrous things from your word. So God, we thank you so much for this time in your word. And Lord, I pray with all my heart that it would have the effect of like a little kid that's just gone to see a war movie that has to go home and fight with his play guns, Lord. I pray that after we've looked at this, that we just cannot wait to dig deeper into your word. And Lord, that we come expecting, knowing that you gave us your very word so that we could hear from you. Knowing that you desire our eyes to be open to it, Lord, because we need that. We praise you, Lord. Thank you for this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.